Please repeat. Sumanaha. Flowers. Sama dharma nam. Exactly like. Stri nam. Of women. Sharane. In the shelter. Ashrame. Household life. Pushpa. In flowers, madhu, of honey, gandha, the aroma, vat, like, kshudratamam, most insignificant, kamya, desired, karma, of activities, vipaka jam, obtained as a result, kama sukha, of sense gratification, lavam, a fragment, jaivya, enjoyment of the tongue, upasthya, sex enjoyment, adi, beginning with, Vichinvantam, always thinking of. Mithuni Bhuya, engaging in sex life. Tat, in his wife. Abhiniveshita, always absorbed. Manasam, whose mind. Shat Angri, of bumblebees, gana, of crowds, sama, gentle, gita, the chanting, vat, like, ati, very, manohara, attractive, vanita adi, beginning with the wife, jana, of people, alapeshu, to the talks, atitaram, excessively, ati, very much, pralobita, attracted, karnam, whose ears, agre, in front, Vrika Yutha, a group of tigers, vat, like, atmana, of one's self, ayu, span of life, harataha, taking away, aharatran, days and nights, tan, all of them, kala lava visheshan, the moments of time, avignaya, without considering, griheshu, in household life, viharantam, enjoying, prishtata, from the back, eva, certainly, parokshan, without being seen, anupravritaha, following behind, lubdakaha, the hunter, krita anta, the superintendent of death, anta, in the heart, sharena, by an arrow, yam, whom, iha, in this world, paravidyati, pierces, tam, that, imam, this, atmanam, yourself, aho rajan, O king, bina hridayam, whose heart is pierced, drashtum, to see, arhasi, you ought, iti, thus. Thank you. You are very good. Translation. My dear king, woman who is very attractive in the beginning, but in the end very disturbing, is exactly like the flower, which is attractive in the beginning and detestable at the end. With woman, the living entity is entangled with lusty desires and he enjoys sex, just as one enjoys the aroma of a flower. He thus enjoys a life of sense gratification from his tongue to his genitals. And in this way, the living entity considers himself very happy in family life. United with his wife, he always remains absorbed in such thoughts. He feels great pleasure in hearing the talks of his wife and children, which are like the sweet humming of bumblebees that collect honey from flower to flower. He forgets that before him is time, which is taking away his lifespan with the passing of day and night. He does not see the gradual diminishing of his life, nor does he care about the superintendent of death, who is trying to kill him from behind. Just try to understand this. You are in a precarious position and are threatened from all sides. Please repeat. My dear king, woman who is very attractive in the beginning, but in the end very disturbing, is exactly like the flower, which is attractive in the beginning and detestable at the end. With woman, the living entity is entangled with lusty desires and he enjoys sex, just as one enjoys the aroma of a flower. He thus enjoys a life of sense gratification from his tongue to his genitals. And in this way, the living entity considers himself very happy in family life. United with his wife, he always remains absorbed in such thoughts. He feels great pleasure in hearing the talks of his wife and children, which are like the sweet humming of bumblebees that collect honey from flower to flower. He forgets that before him is time, which is taking away his lifespan with the passing of day and night. He does not see the gradual diminishing of his life, nor does he care about the superintendent of death, who is trying to kill him from behind. Just try to understand this. You are in a precarious position and are threatened from all sides. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Materialistic life means forgetting one's constitutional position as eternal servant of Krishna. And this forgetfulness is especially enhanced in the Grihastha Ashram. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai, Shri Shri Krishna Balram, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Lalita Vishakha Ki. In the grihastha ashram, a young man accepts a young wife who is very beautiful in the beginning, but in due course of time, after giving birth to many children and becoming older and older, she demands many things from the husband to maintain the entire family. At such a time, the wife becomes detestable to the very man who accepted her in her younger days. One becomes attached to the grihastha ashram for two reasons only. The wife cooks palatable dishes for the satisfaction of her husband's tongue, and she gives him sexual pleasure at night. A person attached to the grihastha ashram is always thinking of these two things, palatable food and sex enjoyment. The talks of the wife, which are enjoyed as a family recreation, and the talks of the children, both attract the living entity. He thus forgets that he has to die someday and has to prepare for the next life if he wants to be put into a congenial body, congenial, suitable body. The deer in the flower garden is an allegory used by the great sage Narada to point out to the king that the king himself is similarly entrapped by such surroundings. Actually, everyone is surrounded by such a family life, which misleads one. The living entity thus forgets that he has to return home, back to Godhead. He simply becomes entangled in family life. Prahlad Maharaj has therefore hinted, Hitvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gato yad harim ashrayeta. Family life is considered a blind well, andakupam, into which a person falls and dies without help. Prahlad Maharaj recommends that while one's senses are there and one is strong enough, he should abandon the grihastha ashram and take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, going to the forest of Vrindavana. According to Vedic civilization, one has to give up family life at a certain age, the age of 50. Take vanaprastha and eventually remain alone as a sannyasi. That is the prescribed method of Vedic civilization, known as varnashrama dharma. When one takes sannyas, after enjoying family life, he pleases the Supreme Lord Vishnu. One has to understand one's position in family or worldly life. That is called intelligence. One should not remain always trapped in family life to satisfy his tongue and genitals in association with a wife. In such a way, one simply spoils his life. According to Vedic civilization, it is imperative to give up the family at a certain stage, by force if necessary. Unfortunately, so-called followers of Vedic life do not give up their family even at the end of life, unless they are forced by death. There should be a thorough overhauling of the social system, and society should revert to the Vedic principles, that is, the four varnas and the four ashrams. Om ajnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshura unamilitangena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswate Deve गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासदी गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे माय डियर किंग वुमन हु इज वेरी अट्रैक्टिव इन द बिगिनिंग बट इन द एंड very disturbing is exactly like the flower which is attractive in the beginning and detestable at the end. With woman, the living entity is entangled with lusty desires and he enjoys sex just as one enjoys the aroma of a flower. He thus enjoys a life of sense gratification from his tongue to his genitals, and in this way the living entity considers himself very happy in family life. United with his wife, he always remains absorbed in such thoughts. He feels great pleasure in hearing the talks of his wife and children, which are like the sweet humming of bumblebees that collect honey from flower to flower. He forgets that before him is time, which is taking away his lifespan with the passing of day and night. He does not see the gradual diminishing of his life, nor does he care about the superintendent of death, who is trying to kill him from behind. Just try to understand this. You are in a precarious position and are threatened from all sides. This verse, Om Ajnana Timirandasya, this is the full description of what is Ajnana Timirandasya, the darkness of ignorance. In the darkness of ignorance, we become absorbed in bodily life. This is the Ajnanati Mirandasya, the darkness of ignorance. The darkness of ignorance is our bodily life. Bodily life means that somehow or other I want to get pleasure through my five senses. Through my eyes, my ears, my nose, my tongue, my sense of touch. I want to enjoy. It's ignorance because you're not the body. It's ignorance because it is misplaced. You are convinced, but it is ignorance. It is a mistake. Just because you're convinced does not make it work. Just because you're convinced. In fact, you have no doubt. You're convinced that my only need in life is to have all the objects for my five senses. If I have them, I shall be happy. We do not doubt it. We are sold on to this. This is our ignorance. This is our mistake. It's not true. It's actually not true. Now while we're listening to this, we're still thinking, no, but some of these things are very nice. You have no idea. We have tasted some. And that memory, dhyayato vishayan pungsa sangas desho pajayate sangats, and it is our entire life we are thinking day and night. Day and night of these objects of the senses. This is our condition. And Narada Muni is saying to King Prachinabhari, this is your condition. Apparently you're engaged in spiritual activities, religious performance. But it is with the view to enjoying your ignorance. You want to perpetuate your ignorance. Now when you tell this to a person who is in ignorance, he does not like this. He rebels. I have a friend in England. He is the head of the psychiatry department of a hospital in Manchester. He's the head. He's from here. He's from India. NRI, you know. And he's explaining to me that people have such phobias, such maladies, mental states, that you cannot bring them out of it. If you tell them what is the reality, they become angry at you, the person who is trying to help them. So similarly, spiritual life. I mean, once the question has been brought up in the class a few times, that why did Narada Muni take so long to give this message to King Prachinabhari? Because, like my friend is explaining, the person will react in a violent way. He's attached. It is not an academic exercise. Oh, you know, sometimes I like, no, we are, it's called total immersion. We are heart and soul to our ignorance. It is not a mental idea, it is our life. It's my biography. My entire life of my story is that I am convinced of sense gratification is the perfection of life. No schooling is required. Agyana jam tamaha. We are born in this way. In this world of darkness, this is how our life begins. You know, it's also a fashion to write biographies. So this is your biography. If you want to know more details, read the 16th chapter of the Gita. Isharoham aham bogi. Siddhoham balavan sukhi. It's the story of every living entity, not just King Prachinabhari. It's our story. We're not doing yajnas. We're not doing any big sacrifice. But our goal in life is the same. To enjoy my senses. To have a situation that is anukul, very favorable to my senses. And what is more favorable than heaven? Swarga. So the king, knowing the science of how to go to Swarga, he was using that. With the view to enjoy his senses, because in this earth planet, you cannot enjoy your senses so well. It's a good jumping off, like an airport. It's a good place to go from there to a destination. You don't want to make your home in the airport. So Vedic understanding, it's common, even whether you're a devotee or a karmi, sense enjoy, fruitive worker, that this life is a jumping off point. Urdhva gacchanti sattvastha madhya tishtanti rajasa. It's, you can choose where to go. And the intelligent person, he tries to do those things that will take him in a nice, congenial. He thus forgets that he has to die someday and has to prepare for the next life if he wants to be put into a congenial body. We're looking for a congenial body, a nice body, not diseased body, not disabled. We want unfettered sense enjoyment without any inebriety, no mosquito, no sweat. And in the heavenly planets, no mosquito, no sweat, just enjoyment. So King Prachinabari, he was employing that process. Another point of this verse is that the medium of enjoyment is the form of a woman. It is the personification of all the things the living entity wants to enjoy. It takes the form of a woman. This is the arrangement. Just like a flower, but the example is given, Sumanasa Sama Dharmanam. The stri has the same dharma, same quality, sama, of a sumana, a flower. Sumana is called flowers. Sama dharmana, same dharma, same intrinsic quality, that it is enjoyed. The same intrinsic quality is that it is enjoyed by the senses. That is the form of a woman. So the living entity, who is neither man or woman, as far as material life goes, he aspires to enjoy the form of a woman. It is his meditation, 24 hours a day. Sometimes people question, it sounds impractical how you can be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. Well, here's a person who is 24 hours a day fully thinking of sense enjoyment without a break. No break. In any condition he can do it. This is, so before you question how you can be 24 hours Krishna conscious, we should look at how we are already 24 hours bhoga conscious. Enjoy, conscious of how I will enjoy it. We dream. It is incessant. They are without an end. It begins and never stops. It is the condition of the living entity. And this is his Ajnana Jamta Maha. This is our starting point. Now, going back, how to help the person who has that mental problem. You know, the psychiatrist hospital. So, they have to undertake a slow therapy. And this is what is happening to King Prachinabhari. Very slow, very Puranjan. Oh, Puranjan, king? Oh, I don't know about this. Tell me more. Oh, I'll tell you more. A queen, beautiful. Oh, beautiful queen, yes. Because we can understand, we can relate to this, yes. Yes, this is something I can relate to. If immediately you say, there is one Purusha and everyone else is his servant, what? And I'm not that Purusha. It's too much, too sudden. You can't. Slowly by degrees, King Prachinabhari is being brought to the point where he can appreciate. He's already become awakened to this point that Narada Muni was trying to tell me something. He got the idea. He wasn't that slow. So he is changing while the Discussion is going on. He's transforming. Hearing is doing this. Simply hearing, he is changing. So the process of coming out of this ajnana jamtama is hearing. That's the process. How do you come out of this perverted sense of reality is you have to hear. Prachinabhari heard Narada Muni very submissively, not challenging. Huh? What do you mean? Is that what you're trying to tell me? You're saying I'm... Is that... No. Then you do not transform. Then you do not change. Submissive hearing. Shushrusho shraddha dhanasya vasudeva katha ruchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirtha nishevanat. Progress is made by hearing from the right source. We need to hear this. We need to hear Narada Muni explicating how we are trapped by our senses and how while we're busy doing that, there is death behind our back. Like a hunter. With every passing of every day and night, he is going to one day kill me. It'll be all over. This foolishness, this absorption in our ignorance will be over. And yet this was the same time we had, same opportunity, in which we could have gotten out of this entrapment, this condition. This is why preaching is the most merciful, the most compassionate activity possible. It's the only merciful and compassionate activity. Everything else is perpetuating one's ignorance, compounding our problem in this material world. One of the things my friend told me is you do not make him go further into his perverted reality, the patient. You do not, you're being very, the opposite of a psychiatrist. You are now his enemy. You're condemning him to worse situation. And yes, it can go worse. Ado gacchanti tamasa. From this platform of ignorance, you can go further in ignorance. Therefore, we have to exert some effort. Now there's a patient, he explained, who becomes aware that I have a problem. You talk to him and he says, you know, I have schizophrenia. I need my medication. He becomes aware. He becomes aware that I have a problem. And this is the position of a devotee. He has become aware. Okay, you know, at some point I understand. But because he has not completed his process of coming out of ignorance, he has lapses or this other aspect to his life where nice ideas of enjoyment do come. They're very appealing. They were appealing, so they're not going to disappear. Everything was very appealing. Nice smell, nice touch, nice sensation. Everything should be nice. It should be perfect for enjoyment. So Prabhupada makes the other point in this verse. Hitvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gato yadharim ashrayeta. The other point is that the patient who starts to understand that I have a problem, I have schizophrenia, he should make a conscious effort to complete his rehabilitation, to come out of his problem. In other words, it cannot be done to you. You have to undertake the program of freeing yourself from this problem. And that particular point comes when one adopts voluntarily some tapasya, austerity. He denies. He takes the opportunity. He doesn't have to, but he chooses the path that is not of sense gratification. He gives it up voluntarily. I could enjoy, but I choose not to. What do you do? Vanam gato yad harim ashrayata. So he uses that energy that would have been devoted to enjoying the senses, to thinking of sense enjoyment. He devotes it. Harim ashrayata. Now, so hari ashrayata, now this is an interesting, we've come to a very interesting point in this discussion. It is not, that's it, done. No, it's a program. There's a program of how to become harim ashrayata, how to become surrendered to lotus feet of Krishna. That's the key point. The patient has to know. The patient has to know. He has to now knowingly apply. So this is King Prachinavari, because remember, King Prachinavari, very soon after this few more verses, he gets the idea. He goes, Vanam. Vanam gato yadam harim ashrayata. He goes. This is Vrindavan. Prabhupada specifically names Vrindavan. One must go. Not to again look for sense gratification. Not to do that. But harim ashrayata. So what is the program? What is the process? Prabhupada was giving a lecture. One of the most interesting things about Prabhupada, it's so amazing. He gives some of the most profound, esoteric truths and knowledge right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. And I also found he gave such profound truths in 1966. Means these are new people. 1966 means nobody could have been a devotee for longer than a year. Not even a year. At the most. And he's speaking such amazing, profound truths to them. And he's saying this to them. They've just freshly, maybe a few days, few weeks at the most, stopped eating meat, fish and eggs. Just recently stopped. Now he's profoundly giving them. And he's telling them to adopt this program of how to take shelter of Hari. Now, he says it in this way. He does say, he tells them, you must. He uses the word in English, imperative. Imperative. It's not an option. You must do it. Sa gurum eva bigachet. You must do it. He got them to surrender to him fully and completely, not partially. So this harim ashrayata means you must. It is imperative that you do it. You cannot do it half-hearted. You must exert that effort, determination, dhrida vrata. I will do it. It's a fixed. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha guru nandana. He is fixed. in this endeavor, vyavasaya, atmika, he is not wavering. He is not looking here and there. By the way, I can speak for hours, but I tend to always stick to the time. So 9:30 is the time. You're welcome to raise your hands at any time. You don't have to wait till the end. If you do not have a question, I will carry on. Because this is profound. We're at the point of what is the program of Harim Ashrayeta. This is the point now. So, Prabhupada was 1966, he's telling these people who were hippies just a few days ago. He's speaking to them as if they're sannyasis. He's telling them how they must do it fully and completely. Prabhupada uses the word sannyas two times in this purport. The life of a spiritualist is a sannyasi, even if he is in married life, even if. Because that is the way to go back home, back to Godhead. Arjuna was taught sannyas yoga, although at the end of the Gita he does not take sannyas. Because to adopt the process of Krishna consciousness requires that you give up sannyas, completely give up. Sam-nyas. Sam means completely. Holy. Nyas, give up sense gratification of any flavor, of every variety. Not some variety, all varieties. This is how Harim Ashrayata begins. It begins from there. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam. Must be done. Imperative. Eva bigachet. With this view, you have to adopt this program. What is the program? The program is man mana bhava mad bhakta. Is now the interesting point of this verse of man mana bhava mad bhakta is not what you do, it's what you give up in when you then do it. It takes on a different quality. A person who bows down in front of Krishna, who has given up all other ideas. That is the significant point of Harim Ashrayata. It is not the external mechanics of physically bowing down. It is that in your heart you have given up everything else. And now you're saying, my Lord, I am yours. Tattvamasi, I am yours. Please accept me. Manmana bhava madbhakta. In that surrendered sannyas, you are asking Krishna to please accept you as his devotee. To engage you. Madhyaji, you worship him and you pay your obeisances to him and you think of him. So this is the Harim Ashrayata. It's a solid program. It's a 24-hour program. But it is sitting on this foundation of having given up all aspirations for sense enjoyment of any flavor. Sometimes it's easy to give up sense enjoyment of a certain flavor, the one that you do not like. To give it up, yeah, sure, take it. It's all the nice flavors you have to give up. Everything. Then the process of surrender to Krishna becomes very effective. Becomes very powerful. You are bowing down By the time you bow down and you get up, you will be changed. It is that powerful. Each of these activities, Prabhupada one time used the word, they're pregnant with energy. There is potency. They are not impotent. They're not useless. Sometimes that question also comes up many times, is that, well, Prabhuji, I've been doing it for so long, for so many years. And some question will be attached. When will the taste come? When will I be able to chant? So on and so forth. When will my mind not be disturbed? It's not when. It's not time. It's not time delimited, that at a certain point in time, it happens. It doesn't happen in time. It happens when this quality of surrender is there. This quality. That I have given up all dreams of enjoyment. I have come to the point where I voluntarily, I renounce. I'm no longer interested. It doesn't matter. Then the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, it penetrates our heart, not just, it's not superficial. Because your heart is now vacant. There's room now. You've just taken out the thing that was dear to your heart. So now Krishna consciousness can sit. When it sits, that's when instantly, savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhakti radoshi, ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati, immediately you become transcendentally satisfied. You experience spiritual life. It becomes possible. So it's not that some people could say, well, harim vanam ashrita, there are some people living in the forest. Are they already harim ashrita? No. It's not the forest. It's in the heart giving up that desire that we are nursing. You understand the word nursing? We are uska palan poshan kar rahe hain, usko pal rahe hain. We are nursing. We're hoping one day it will have its fulfillment. So we have to stop having hopes of nursing our desires, that one day I will enjoy. It's that which is stopping us from progressing in spiritual life. That's the program. Hitva atma patam. Hitva means to give up. Atma patam. This fallen condition of a griha andakupam. Now the other thing is that, again going back to ajnana, tama, the darkness of ignorance, it is not superficial. It's not, we can't just click and it's gone. It has a serious hold on us. Guna means, ropes means, these are more or less unbreakable bonds. You cannot escape them. They have you, they really truly have you. It's not a play acting. Is it hurting? Oh, okay, I'll lose it. No, it's for real. It's really for real. They have such a strong hold. Your death will not free you from them. Your death will not free you from the bonds. It's that powerful. You cannot die and become free from them. They're not easy at all to become free. Yet Krishna says, Mam cha yo vyabicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan. Sagunan, these very impossible bonds, samatityaitan, brahma bhuya. But that requires this program of harim ashrayeta. That's the point. We're talking about a very serious bond. Even the maladies my friend treats in psychiatry, they're nothing. They're superficial. And yet, the funny thing about this field of psychiatry is, psychiatrists suffer from mental conditions the most. Because the association with these crazy people, they become crazy. The suicide rate among psychiatrists is very high, actually. It's so genuinely a negative influence in anybody's life. So, but this ajnanajam, this ignorance that I am the body is so deep. It's so deep. It does not, you do not give it up, even if you have a decrepit, disabled, horrible body, you do not give up the hope to enjoy. It's that powerful. You still think there is yet some hope to enjoy. Ang ang dukh, each part of your body is giving you pain, and yet you will hold out with the hope that I will yet enjoy. That's how powerful it is. Do not give it up. So, it's very serious. So the other point Prabhupada mentions is, this has to be taken up when you are young and strong, not when you're old. When you're able to deal with this, when you have some ability to be determined, just like, you know, when you're young, you can learn music, you can learn language, you can learn an art, you can learn something. You cannot easily learn it when you're old. All these things. So that is also the same time when you can become Krishna conscious, because you have the ability to have determination. Sankalpa. Dhrida sankalpa. Firm determination. And that's why it has to be adopted as early as possible. This process. How to become conscious of the psychic movements of my desires and then to control them. Yam niyam. All yoga goes through the same process. Pratyahara. You have to control. Yoga indriya sangyamya, Prabhupada said many times. Yoga means to control the senses. So you don't do it mechanically, you do it consciously. I'm withdrawing. I'm withdrawing any propensity. I'm monitoring my motivations behind every activity. Am I doing this with a subtle desire to enjoy? And then you check that. You check it. You stop it. Right there. Then you become able, when you bow down to Krishna, it has a certain sweetness. When you come before Krishna, you see Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna is in front of you, but you're still seeing in your mind's eye your desires in between. So you do not see Krishna. Krishna doesn't influence us as much. Because our mind, dhyayato vishyanpun, is on the sense objects. Even though I'm standing in front of Krishna. By my mind, I'm somewhere else. So that's partly why one has to remove himself to a forest, meaning away from the world of the objects of the senses. He has to, Prabhupada, he says, interestingly, according to Vedic civilization, one has to give up family life at a certain age, the age of 50, take vanaprastha and eventually remain alone as a sannyasi. So the idea is that you extricate yourself, separate yourself from the world of the sense objects. Become alone as far as sense objects go. Because if you are still absorbed, then there's that example that has been given many times. If a glass is already full, if you put something in there, it just falls out. If our glass, our consciousness is already full of sense enjoyment, whatever Krishna consciousness we do, it doesn't stay. Just it's already full. We need to make some space by giving up. Then Krishna can come. And funny enough, this is what you need to do even for grihastha ashram. Same. You have to, even though the facility for sense enjoyment is there, you have to have the same objective as a sannyasi. That I'm doing this as my duty. What is that Krishna says to Arjuna? Mam anusmara yudhyacha. You do your duty, but anusmara, your mind is actually on me, not on your grihastha ashram. Here Narada Muni is explaining the mind of a person who is not only in grihastha ashram, but he is reveling in it. His thoughts, his feelings, his emotions are completely entangled. He's dreaming day and night. It's his life and soul. He'll die if anything happens to his material setup. I haven't seen it in India so much, but in the West, if you just touch somebody's car, that's it. You can start off a whole fight. It's dear to him, it's precious to him. It's the object of all his desires. He's invested. He's invested in it. You cannot put a shadow over it. People are so much in this disease condition. So the interesting thing is Prabhupada, in 1966, he's speaking as if you would speak to a sannyasi. The person is already sannyasi. And even then the sannyasi would go, it's like, oh, this is a tough one. And actually the interesting thing is, Prabhupada was right. They changed. He was able to give them Hari Mashrayata. This is the greatness. Prachina Bari did not just give up his material desires and aspirations, but Narada Muni gave him Hari Mashrayata. Narada Muni gave him. By his mercy, he was able to take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's very difficult. On our own, it's very difficult. We are who we are. We have so many... Aparimeyam cha. In the 16th chapter, Krishna says, aparimeyam. There is no counting how much the desires are. You cannot. There is no like, okay, this much and no more. No, no. It's infinite. It is endless. It doesn't stop. It cannot be fulfilled. Analena, dushpurena, analena cha. It burns like fire. And it doesn't stop. I see no questions so far. Is there a mic? The devotee who has the wireless mic? Yeah, maybe just pass that around. The kirtan one.
Thank you for class. In preaching, ruler, if we try to explain something to the person to whom we preach, if we don't succeed, whose is fault? I heard that fault is our. If we don't try to, if we don't succeed to explain to the person to whom we preach, to, let's say, change him, then fault is our. Our is fault. Therefore, big appreciation for allegory system which is introduced in this chapter of King Prachinabaris. So this sound like statement, but you should please elaborate if you understood, because this media is a little bit too strong. If you understood my statement.
I'll try to say what you said and then you correct me. You're saying that in preaching, whose fault is it if we fail to...
If we try to explain something and we don't succeed
we don't succeed.
Fault is our, not to other person.
Well, I'll answer that. Prabhupada said, it's not one-sided, it's not always yours. The reason is, the other person has to be interested. This is not something you can impose, unwilling. Krishna says to Arjuna, now you decide. He cannot... Arjuna is a living entity who has a freedom of choice. So the person you're preaching to has a freedom of choice. If he's not even interested, see, you say it every morning, one of the offenses to the holy name is to preach to the, there's three kinds of people actually in that category. Ashradadani, Ashrinvatam, Krishna and Mukhi, three of them, who does not have faith, who will not hear you, he'll not listen to you, he'll not stop, and he's against Krishna. So, if he does not have these disqualifications, yes, now it's on the preacher's side. Now for the preacher's side, he should only speak according to his realization. Yatha mati yatha ditam. As you have actually, do not preach beyond your realization. So Prabhupada said, therefore just give them a book. You understand the value of the book, that's your realization. Give it to him. Let him. It's anybody can have that realization. But if the person asks questions further, you can speak according to how much you have realized. That's all. I mean, we don't have to worry about whose fault it is. It's a wonderful occupation to deliver somebody to be compassionate. We have to see who does it. If somebody doesn't do it right, it doesn't matter. It's already a world of illusion anyway. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for a very wonderful class. Prabhuji, my question is that in this particular instance, Srila Narad Muni is preaching in a very allegorical way, through an allegorical story, and then he's coming to the main point. So, how should we go about preaching to outside people? Should we also preach some indirect things and then indirect stories and like that?
In one sense, King Prachinabhari was advanced to be able to hear these allegories and be benefited from them. He was actually advanced in many ways. He wasn't... Mostly, our preaching should be very simple. It should not be complicated. It should not be convoluted. It should be very simple. Hare Krishna. Are you interested in spiritual life? You know, very simple, straight. Oh, yes, I am. Here's a book on spiritual life, Bhagavad Gita. Oh, what does it say? Well, one of the things it says, you're not the body. Very direct, because people are already very confused. If you confuse them more, you're not helping the situation. The person on the street, you don't want to tell him the story of King Puranjan. He's already... He'll tell you another story of some Hollywood movie and some Bollywood... You don't want to go there.
Just like you said that if you speak this truth straight away, they may become angry at you.
No, but you're not giving the highest truth. Simple, simple point. Bhagavad Gita. Arjun was very attached. Swajanam Krishna. These are my own people. How could I kill them? Bhishmam, Dronam, Pujara, Varisudana. They're worshipable. So Krishna said, but you're not the body. They're not their body. Na jayate mriyate. This is the perfection of Bhagavad Gita. Is the best preaching tactic for the most covered people. It's the best. You can't go wrong. But he has to be willing, like Arjuna. He has to say, well, I'll listen to you. He has to have some respect for you, like Arjuna had for Krishna. Otherwise you can't even say that. Bhagavad Gita is the best. Chapter 2.
Preaching is very good. In preaching is, that means very good to have Krishna's prasadam also and to give compliments to the to increase his to give compliments,
to flatter him,
to flatter
sadhu,
but
you're sadhu.
But
is
American,
oh, I am. Tell me more.
But it's not flattering because every,
no, Prabodhananda Saraswati says
every soul is divine. Every soul.
No, he uses the word flattery. It's okay. Flattery is not a sinful word. It's okay. Can you pass the mic to the back? You're talking about Bhagavad Gita? Okay. Is that your question or can you pass it? Oh, okay. Thank you. I thought you were speaking on behalf. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, this verse is kind of scary because, you know, I mean, in a woman's body and being married, I mean, my question would be, what can I do in order to not hamper my husband's progress in Krishna consciousness?
Thank you. I did mean to cover some on that as well. This verse is dealing with a woman in the way that in ignorance, agyana jam tama, a person perceives. But that's not the only aspect of a woman, though. In spiritual life, in the later cantos, it's going to be described how she is the better half, meaning spiritually, better half of the man. She can elevate the man's consciousness because of the influence she has on him. You have to understand, a woman has powerful influence. Material energy has powerful influence. So she uses that to enhance the devotional life of her husband. And it's explained that as he advances, she benefits from his advancement. So, but we should appreciate today's verse for what it is trying to say. Materially, the way the man sees a woman is in order to try to become Krishna. He wants to enjoy. This is his paraphernalia. This is mine. I, me, mine. Ishwaroham, aham, bhogi, siddhoham. This is my paraphernalia. So, that we have to accept. Even if I'm not guilty of it, I should hear it. Because it purifies. Just the hearing purifies us. Just hearing this Shabda Brahma, spoken by Narada Muni, it has within it the seed to purify in our heart whatever amalam, mala, dirt there may be. So we should hear it submissively. We should not say, well, I want to contradict it. But yet, this is not the complete story of a woman or a man. It's partial. But it needs to be covered. Just like Prabhupada says, there are negatives and then there are positives. No meat eating fish and eggs. You have to hear it. You have to listen to it. Whether you eat or you don't. No gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. That's the negatives. Then the positive is you have to chant Hare Krishna. You have to become Krishna conscious. So it's the same thing. Woman, negative? No, don't do the negative. But the positive is not yet described. Yeah. There are so many positives. I mean, if just to finish, and I'll be very brief, 30 seconds. You can't have a more elevated person than Queen Kunti even. I mean, we have some sublime examples. And actually, her prayers are part of the meditation of a sannyasi. The sannyas perfects his sannyas by meditating on the prayers of Queen Kunti. This is how, spiritually, it's a different realm altogether. But in the beginning stage, you must give up the idea that I want to enjoy the body. That's important. With that, I thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.